is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Rear Admiral Mike Hewitt, U.S. Navy retired, 31 years aviator, involved in proliferation and counterproliferation issues, now the founder, one of the founder and the CEO of IP3, a firm dedicated to nuclear energy in the 21st century, co-founded with Bud McFarlane, General Jack King, General Keith Alexander. However, we go to the breaking news, because this isn't about the 20th century's understanding of nuclear energy. It's about the 21st. In these last days, the IAEA presented its new platform on small modular reactors. This presentation looks forward. The IAEA presented its newly established platform on small modular reactors and their applications, aimed at supporting countries worldwide in the development and in deployment of this emerging nuclear power technology, during an event recently concluded in Vienna. Mike, a very good evening to you. Our conversation at an event recently in Washington reminded me that I have not addressed the unspoken green innovation of nuclear energy. We are weeks away from COP26, the gathering in Glasgow, Scotland, of the world's ambitions for climate change and for reducing our greenhouse gases and our footprint, our energy footprint. We're also in the middle of a shortage crisis in Europe for heat for the winter and power for the manufacturing for the winter. In China, there are rolling blackouts. In California, there's grave concern that California will not be able to provide the energy needs as recently as next summer, and that brownouts are critical for our most innovative state. Therefore, I come to you because you got my attention with small modular reactors. We need some definitions here, but first, your understanding of nuclear energy and COP26. Are you invited to the table? What is it that the representatives from the planet want to know about nuclear energy after the disasters of the 20th century? Good evening to you, Admiral.
John, thanks for having me, and I really appreciate you bringing this topic forward. It's such an important time in the run-up to COP26 and all the conversations that have been taking place globally about, have we made any progress since Paris? And so here we are 6 years later, going into COP26. I look at the Paris Climate Accord as the first real attempt of the global community to come up with metrics to address the concern of global warming, seawater rise, and other things. And they really committed to almost predominantly a renewable energy solution. And then I look at where are we going into COP26, as you just articulated. We have Western countries that are in energy poverty right now. We have an energy crisis with the lack of natural gas in Europe. We are watching the oversubscription of renewable energy since Paris impacting our ability to have reliable energy in first world countries, just as the ones you've mentioned. And so I think going into COP26, what you're going to see is a readdressal of the solutions that were created in Paris, and nuclear power, which has always been the most abundant source of clean, emissions-free, always-on electricity, will be given a new look at COP26. And what you're going to see is the advent of small modular reactors and advanced reactors as the future of nuclear power, both commercially as well as what the market needs. So we're extremely excited. And there are a lot of nuclear power companies that will be at Glasgow for COP26. And so our assessment is, particularly with the environmental, societal, and governance structures out there of investing in clean energy solutions, that nuclear power in its new nuclear form will be given a real view at COP26.
Nuclear energy used in anger in the Second War, not used in that fashion since. However, the 20th century, our childhood, Mike, was spent with the realistic idea that the world was going to end with the nuclear blasts again. However, it turned into a story of nuclear energy that began with the Eisenhower administration at Atoms for Peace, and then Three Mile Island, and then Chernobyl, and then all the other grave concerns about nuclear energy being trustworthy. Europe pulled back. Germany pulled back profoundly. France did not. However, today, as the Financial Times, Gillian Tett wrote up, the common political response to nuclear, it is NIMBY, not in my backyard. Is that changing, Mike? Do you need to buttonhole more politicians at Glasgow 26? What is to be done about recognizing that the 20th century was a catastrophe and the 21st needs nuclear energy?
Eisenhower's Atoms for Peace, John, in 1953 had this view of nuclear power that it could electrify the planet, that it could provide abundant electricity for a planet that was growing, that needed more energy, and that the fossil fuel industry by itself couldn't address the needs for more electricity globally. We didn't understand at the time some of the concerns, both with respect to risk, waste, and the proliferation risk of a civilian nuclear power industry that could potentially be used for production of weapons of mass destruction. Since then, really the world community has addressed those issues quite aggressively with the NPT and other treaties that have told the world community, if you want to participate in civil nuclear power, you will do so with transparency and without any risk of proliferation. So I think since Atoms for Peace, we've seen an addressal of the concerns around nuclear power. And Fukushima, Three Mile Island, and Chernobyl are the great three examples of concerns about accidents. But when you really deep dive into all three of those, particularly Three Mile Island and Fukushima, there was never any radiation exposure whatsoever. They were actually – Three Mile Island was an accident that was handled precisely the way the design was meant to work. Fukushima was a tsunami that in actuality the nuclear power plant was properly shut down. Chernobyl was a gross incompetence by Russian operators back in the 80s. But the fact is that the amount of deaths from Chernobyl are very minimal. So I think as we look at the existential threat of climate change in the 21st century, and you measure the risk of having more nuclear power for all the upsides that we've talked about versus the concerns of nuclear power, I think you're going to see the global community bringing nuclear power forward because the reward far outweighs the perceived risk. And there is always a NIMBY issue, but if you look at the countries, particularly the UK, that have a large nuclear power program today, and they're moving into new nuclear power, they don't really have a NIMBY issue. And whether we like it or not, 200 to 300 gigawatts of new nuclear capacity will be built in the next 30 years. Many in countries that have never had nuclear power, but have determined that without nuclear power, they simply won't meet their energy goals of both being abundant baseload and clean in their energy mix. So the world stage is embracing nuclear power legitimately, accurately, objectively. And I think we as a country need to return to being the country of choice for the delivery of nuclear power.
We're going to define a small modular reactor momentarily, but I come to a point that the Admiral made in our after dinner conversation most recently in Washington about small nuclear reactors and your anxieties about them. Mike, you had me when you mentioned the Navy. How is the Navy doing with reactors these days? Does anybody ask?
John, as you know, the civil industry was really created by Admiral Rickover in his development of nuclear power for the United States Navy on the heels of World War II. And the U.S. Navy operates over 100 reactors today. And they've quietly built 1 to 2 reactors every year for the last 6 decades. And no one's ever heard anything negative about it. So in terms of a robust industry and the ability to build small modular reactors that safely, securely, and economically, I think the U.S. Navy represents the greatest example of the future of nuclear power. And I also would point to the United Kingdom, which has done the same thing. And now, as you know, with the advent of the AUKUS agreement, Australia will be pursuing nuclear-powered submarines for the first time. So I think that from a military perspective, the safe development of nuclear power in these new forms is precisely what we need to be pursuing.
I'm speaking with Mike Hewitt, Rear Admiral Mike Hewitt, U.S. Navy retired aviator. We're speaking of small modular reactors, nuclear power as a green source in the 21st century prior to COP26 discussing climate change. When we come back, what is an SMR, especially in the imagination of the Rolls-Royce Company of the United Kingdom? Is it really something you can put on the back of a tractor trailer and haul around? The answer to that question is surprising. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.